A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one about a tension he's been sitting with, the difference between emergency spending and planned purchasing, and how the research habit that saves you from bad buys can also create a weird pressure to buy things you hadn't budgeted for. He just went through an unplanned apartment move, picked up a cordless drill after feeding the local hardware catalog into Claude for spec analysis, and noticed something. That hour of research created a sunk cost that made him want to hit purchase, whether it was in the budget or not. But he's also been experimenting with front-loading research into reusable documents, doing the investigation now, saving it as a PDF with specs and price points, and decoupling the research from the transaction. He wants to know how to make those documents retain value, so they're actually useful when the need or budget arrives.
This is a procurement mindset applied to household budgeting, and I don't think I've heard anyone frame it quite this way before. Most personal finance advice treats research as an unalloyed good. Do your homework, compare options, be an informed consumer. Daniel spotted the shadow side of that, which is that research creates a psychological obligation. You've invested time, the knowledge is fresh, the market is shifting under you, and there's this voice saying, buy it now or the work was wasted.
The voice is lying, obviously. The work is already gone. But that doesn't make the voice any quieter.
And what makes this uniquely interesting right now is that AI tools have collapsed the effort cost of deep research. You can feed a hardware catalog into Claude and get a 10-page spec analysis in 15 minutes. That's genuinely transformative, but it also means you can generate more of these research projects than ever before. More open loops, more half-finished investigations sitting in your head. The bottleneck has shifted from finding information to managing the psychological residue of having found it.
Let's unpack what's actually happening here, because this isn't just about drills and monitors. Daniel's identified two modes that share a research step, but have completely opposite psychological dynamics. Emergency mode is need now, research fast, buy. Planned mode is research now, buy later, maybe much later. The first creates pressure to transact. The second creates a document that sits there waiting. And the question is, how to make that waiting document actually useful when you come back to it?
To understand why research creates this pressure, we need to look at the psychology of sunk costs and how AI changes the equation. Kahneman and Tversky's prospect theory is the foundation here. People are loss averse. We feel losses about twice as intensely as equivalent gains. And here's the key. When you invest time researching a product, that time registers as an asset. Walking away without buying feels like losing that asset. Even though the time is already spent, it's gone regardless of whether you buy. Your brain treats the decision not to purchase as a forfeiture of value.
It's the same mechanism that makes you sit through a bad movie because you paid for the ticket. The money's gone. The 2 hours ahead of you are the real cost, but you're anchored to the sunk cost.
And research time is stickier than ticket money in some ways, because it's your own cognitive effort. You weren't just a passive consumer. You were active. You were comparing specs. You were building expertise. That expertise feels valuable, and the half-life on it feels short. Daniel mentioned this explicitly. Specs change. Stock rotates. The choice might not be valid in a month. That creates a use-it-or-lose-it anxiety that accelerates the purchase decision.
Here's the thing, that anxiety is mostly exaggerated for the categories we're talking about. A cordless drill from last year is still a good drill this year. Monitors see incremental annual updates with major shifts every 3 to 5 years. Power tools evolve even more slowly. The spec sheet needs recalibration, not replacement. The knowledge doesn't actually decay that fast.
There was a good piece in Consumer Reports a while back that tracked model churn across product categories. For major appliances, the average model cycle is about 18 months, but the underlying technology, motor efficiency, compressor design, changes on a 5 to 7 year horizon. What changes year to year is mostly cosmetic, or a minor efficiency bump, or a new color. The central spec, what the thing does and how well it does it, is remarkably stable.
Which means the buy it now before the research goes stale. Impulse is mostly a phantom. It's your brain manufacturing urgency to resolve the cognitive dissonance of having done work without a payoff.
This is where the AI multiplier comes in, because it cuts both ways. On one hand, tools like Claude and ChatGPT and Perplexity make research dramatically faster. What used to take an afternoon of reading reviews and comparing spec sheets now takes 15 minutes of prompting and reading a summary. That's fantastic. It lowers the barrier to being an informed buyer. But it also means you can now generate a deep research project on a whim. You're bored on a Tuesday evening, you wonder what the best monitor is, you spend 20 minutes in a chat session, and now you've got a detailed analysis and a recommendation, and a new open loop in your head.
The sunk cost per unit of research drops, but the volume of research projects rises. You end up with more of these half-finished investigations nagging at you. Traditional budgeting advice doesn't address this at all, because it was written for a world where research was hard, and you only did it when you were serious about buying.
The old model was, you decide you need something, you research, you buy. Three steps, linear. The new model is, you research something speculatively. The research sits in your head creating low-grade pressure, and eventually you either buy to close the loop or you let it decay and feel like you wasted the time. Neither outcome is great.
If the research itself is creating a problem, what's the fix? Daniel stumbled on something that actually mirrors how organizations handle this. He did his monitor research, saved it as a PDF with specs and price points, and walked away. He decoupled the investigation from the transaction. That's not just a personal hack, that's standard procurement practice.
It really is. It really is. Enterprise procurement teams maintain what they call approved vendor lists and specification documents. These are living documents that get updated quarterly or biannually, not rebuilt from scratch every time someone needs to order office chairs or laptops. The insight is exactly what Daniel articulated. The central spec, what you need, changes slowly. The market, what's available, and at what price, changes faster. By documenting the spec separately from the market scan, you future-proof the research.
Let's get concrete. If someone wants to build one of these reusable research documents, what should it actually look like?
This is the stable part. For a monitor, it might be 27-inch 4K USB-C connectivity, blue light filter, under $400. Those requirements come from your actual needs, your desk setup, your eye strain issues, your port situation, your budget. Those don't change month to month. They might change when you move desks or your vision changes, but that's on a much slower cycle.
The second section.
This is dated and timestamped. As of July 2026, the best match is the Dell U2724D at $379 from B&H, with the LG 27UE85 Fevel as a close second at $399. This section has a shelf life. Prices change, new models launch, stock rotates. But here's the key. When you come back to this document in 6 months, you're not starting from zero. You've got a baseline. You know what a good price looked like. You know which models were contenders. You can check if the Dell has been superseded, if the LG has dropped in price, if something new has entered the market at a better price point.
The third section.
A recalibration log. This is just a dated entry every time you revisit the document. November 2026, checked prices, Dell now $349, LG discontinued, new BenQ model at $379 with better contrast ratio. Still not buying. That log turns the document from a static snapshot into a living thing. It also solves the knowledge decay, anxiety, because you're not wondering whether the research is still good. You've got a record of when you last checked and what changed.
I like this because it transforms the stale document problem from a bug into a feature. You're not worried about the research going bad, because the document is designed to be refreshed. It's a scheduled maintenance task, not a crisis.
The refresh schedule depends on the category. Daniel mentioned this in his prompt. Different products have different churn rates. Monitors are good for about 6 months between recalibrations. Laptops, maybe 3 months. Those annual cycles have meaningful spec bumps. You can probably go 12 months. A drill is a drill. The motor tech doesn't shift that fast. Appliances, 6 to 12 months depending on the category.
What I find interesting here is that this approach also changes the psychology of the emergency purchase. Daniel's drill story is a perfect case study. He was in the middle of an unplanned move, needed a drill now, fed the local hardware catalog into Claude, got a spec analysis, and bought with confidence. That's rapid structured research under time pressure. The alternative, walking into the store and grabbing whatever's on the shelf or asking the clerk, has a much higher risk of a bad buy.
The platform trolley he mentioned, that sounds like the opposite approach. Low research, vibes based, just needed something with wheels, no sunk cost pressure, but also no guarantee of quality. Sometimes that works fine. A trolley is a trolley. But for anything with a motor or a power cord or a spec sheet, the rapid AI-assisted research is better, even in an emergency.
The difference is that in emergency mode, the research is tightly coupled to an immediate purchase. You're doing it because you need the thing today. The sunk cost pressure is there, but it's aligned with reality. You actually do need to buy. The danger Daniel identified is when that same research habit gets applied to non-emergency purchases and creates an artificial urgency.
That's where the spec sheet library comes in. If you've already done the monitor research and saved it as a document, then when a monitor actually dies, you're not panic researching. You pull up the PDF, check the recalibration log, see if the recommendations are still current, and buy with confidence in 10 minutes. The emergency becomes manageable because the cognitive work was front-loaded.
This is the opposite of impulse spending. It's planned spontaneity. You've done the thinking in advance, so when the need arises, the decision is mostly made.
There's a concept in behavioral economics called pre-commitment. You make decisions in a calm state that bind your future self in a crisis. This is usually applied to things like automatic savings deductions or gym memberships. But a spec sheet library is a form of cognitive pre-commitment. You're making the evaluation in a cool state when you're not under pressure, and you're leaving your future self a clear path to follow.
Let's talk about what most people get wrong here. The biggest misconception is that more research always means better decisions. It doesn't. Research creates a sunk cost, and that sunk cost can pressure you into buying things you don't need or can't afford right now. The value of research depends entirely on whether it's decoupled from the purchase decision. If you research and buy in the same session, you're on autopilot. If you research, document, and walk away, you created an asset.
The second misconception is that product specs change so fast that research is useless after a month. For most durable goods, tools, monitors, appliances, that's just not true. The underlying technology evolves incrementally. A spec sheet from 6 months ago needs recalibration, not replacement. The central requirements, screen size, resolution, connectivity, budget, those are probably identical.
The third one is that emergency spending means you can't do research. Daniel's drill purchase disproves that. You can feed a catalog into an AI tool and get a structured analysis in minutes. It's not the same as a week of deliberation, but it's dramatically better than guessing. The key is having the presence of mind to do it, even when you're stressed.
There's a broader point here about what budgeting actually is. Most budgeting advice focuses on tracking past spending or enforcing limits on future spending. It's backward-looking or constraint-focused. What Daniel is describing is pre-spending cognitive effort. It's a form of just-in-case preparation that reduces the cognitive load of future purchases. That's a different category of financial hygiene entirely.
It's budgeting for attention, not just for money.
And attention is the scarcer resource in a world where AI can generate infinite research. The money might be there, or it might not, but the mental bandwidth to make a good decision under pressure is always limited. Front-loading the research preserves that bandwidth for when you actually need it.
Let's make this concrete. Four things a listener can do starting this week. First, decouple research from purchase. Never research a product unless you're willing to walk away without buying. If you feel the sunk cost pressure, that itch to hit purchase just to close the loop, set a 24-hour cooling-off period. The research will still be there tomorrow. If the urgency is real, you'll still buy. If it's artificial, it'll fade.
Second, build a spec sheet library. For any recurring need, monitors, tools, appliances, create a one-page document with three sections, requirements, market scan with a timestamp, and a recalibration log. Store it somewhere searchable. A dedicated folder in your notes app, a markdown file, whatever you'll actually find when you need it. The goal is to make the research findable when the need arises, not when you're standing in the store.
Third, tag each document with a review by date based on category churn. Monitors, 6 months. Laptops, 3 months. Power tools, 12 months. Appliances, 6 to 12 months depending on how fast that market moves. This turns the stale document problem into a scheduled maintenance task. You're not wondering if the research is still good. You know exactly when to check.
Fourth, use AI for the research but not for the decision. AI is fantastic at analyzing spec sheets, comparing options, surfacing trade-offs you might not have considered. But the decision to buy should be based on your budget and your need, not on the fact that you just spent 20 minutes in a chat session. The AI is a research assistant, not a purchasing agent. Keep that separation clear.
The research assistant versus purchasing agent distinction is important, because that's where this is all heading. Right now, you do the research, save the document, and manually check prices later. But AI agents are getting more capable of monitoring prices and stock levels autonomously. The spec sheet document could become a living spec that alerts you when your requirements are met at your target price.
That's the next frontier. Not just front-loading the research, but automating the wait. You define the requirements once, the agent watches the market, and you get a notification when the Dell drops below 350 or when a new model launches that beats your current recommendation on every spec. That transforms the document from a static reference into an active procurement tool.
Which, circling back, is exactly what enterprise procurement teams do with their approved vendor lists and automated RFQ systems. The household version is just smaller scale and runs on Claude instead of SAP.
Honestly, for most households, the simpler version is better. You don't need an automated monitoring system. You need a document you can find that tells you what you decided and why, and that you can refresh in 15 minutes when the need arises. The value isn't in the automation. It's in the separation of research from transaction.
There's one question this approach leaves open, and I think it's worth sitting with. What do you do with the research debt, the products you investigated but decided not to buy? Do you archive them, delete them, keep them as future options? There's a getting things done style argument for closing the loop. An open research project is an open loop in your mind, even if you consciously decided not to buy. It's still taking up cognitive space.
I'd argue for archiving with a clear decided not to buy tag and a one-line reason. Looked at mechanical keyboards, decided current keyboard is fine, not a priority. That closes the loop cognitively. You've made a decision, you've recorded it, you can revisit if circumstances change. But it also prevents you from re-researching the same category 6 months later because you forgot you already did the work.
That's the meta layer of this whole approach. It's not just about making better purchasing decisions. It's about treating your own research effort as a durable asset that deserves to be managed. Most people treat research as disposable. You do it, you buy, you forget. But in a world where AI makes research cheap and fast, the bottleneck isn't information. It's the ability to retain and reuse your own thinking.
That's really what Daniel's monitor PDF represents. It's not just a shopping list, it's a record of his own reasoning, what he values, what he's willing to pay, what trade-offs he's made. That reasoning has value beyond any single purchase. It's a reusable decision framework.
The drill was the right call, by the way. A good cordless drill pays for itself in about 2 furniture assemblies. Ask me how I know.
I'm going to guess you've never assembled furniture in your life.
It's a leadership role.
You nap while other people do the work. Let's bring this home. Here are the 4 things to do this week. 1. Decouple research from purchase, set a cooling off period. 2. Build a spec sheet library with requirements, market scan, and recalibration log. 3. Tag each document with a review, by date based on how fast that category churns. 4. Use AI for analysis, but not for the decision.
The open question, how do you handle the research debt of products you investigated but decided not to buy? Archive them with a reason, close the loop, and free up the cognitive space.
There's one question this approach leaves open, and it points to where this is all heading. As AI agents become capable of monitoring prices and stock levels autonomously, the research document could become a living spec that alerts you when your requirements are met at your target price. That's the next frontier, not just front-loading research, but automating the wait. You define what you need once, and the system tells you when it's time to buy.
If that sounds like enterprise procurement software shrunk down to household scale, that's because it is. The principles are the same. The difference is that now you can run it from your Notes app in a Claude session instead of a six-figure SAP implementation.
Which is remarkable when you step back and think about it. The tools that used to be reserved for organizations with procurement departments are now available to anyone with a phone and 15 minutes. The bottleneck isn't access to information or analysis. It's the discipline to separate the research from the purchase, and to build the systems that make your own thinking reusable.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The mathematical community of Suriname has documented exactly 3 locally developed theorems that were lost for over a century before being rediscovered in archived colonial administrative records, one of which turned out to be an independent derivation of a special case of the Pythagorean theorem, originally carved into the base of a wooden surveyor's table in 1842.
I have so many questions about the surveyor's table.
The fact that Suriname has a documented count of lost theorems is itself remarkable.
This has been My Weird Prompts, thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, tell someone who's about to buy a drill they haven't researched yet. We're at myweirdprompts.com.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.